Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with My Opel, rewarding loyalty and taking care of members.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Our regular GP, Dr. Maura Finn, joins me now from County Clare. Good morning to you, Maura.
Good morning, Claire.
In a moment now, we're going to have a chat about some of the changes that have come about in terms of technology and how it affects your relationship with your GP. But I wanted to ask you first, Maura, about that budget measure, free GP care extended to the under eights. And we heard earlier today some reaction from GPs on Morning Ireland saying that there simply aren't enough of them to cope with this and you're already overstretched with what you're doing. Do you agree?
Well, we're absolutely overstretched and there's a massive manpower crisis in general practice as there is across the whole health service. However, it is one of the main tenets of Sláintecare to have universal free GP care, and I personally would support that. So I see it as being an extension of these kids are the kids that already have the free GP care up to under sixes. So it's an extension of that. I believe it's going in the right direction, but it can't be done in isolation. It has to be done in consultation with how do we fund general practice, how do we fund the primary care and our childcare services
and
in general.
When it came in for the under sixes, was there a lift in terms of, were you seeing more under sixes coming in? Were their parents bringing them in more often?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it actually caused a huge surge in presentation. Okay. And I think it often, parents actually came to believe that if they didn't present to a doctor with a minor illness, that they were somehow negligent. It became that prevalent, the presentations. Now, COVID and the pandemic has changed that a little bit, and the conversation has changed because people have begun to understand the difference between a viral and a bacterial illness, and the idea that a lot of simple childhood illnesses can be dealt with at home and don't need to be seen by a doctor, don't need to have a prescription. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping the education around that will balance some of the excess presentations that really swamped us when the under sixes came in originally.
Yeah, you also can't get in the door without having a negative PCR test, which I'm sure has
delayed
people's decision to go,
Exactly. And people are afraid to, sometimes they won't ring because they're going, it's not, or they'll ring and they'll say, I know it's not COVID. And you're going, well, how do you know it's not COVID? But, so they're afraid of that too. But, that's part of a bigger conversation. But, healthcare in general is underfunded. We know this. And primary care is always the poor relation of the rest of the healthcare service.
Well, let's talk a little bit more now about the technological advances in medicine when it comes to general practice, because the pandemic, I'm sure you would agree, brought all of this to the fore for GPs, where you were forced, and we as patients and clients were forced to use this technology.
Yeah, I'm pre-pandemic, people were using telemedicine and video consultation, but I found it very disconcerting. I wasn't sure I was able to provide the same service, but then we were forced into using it. And it became obvious that you could provide a very good, thorough service using telemedicine. Now, it isn't the same. And now, because we have the ability to see patients in person too, the combination of the two improves efficiency and it improves the situation for both patients and doctors. I had a poor woman who waited for me an hour and a half yesterday, unfortunately, and it was a very quick consultation that she could have done over the phone. And we talked about that. And, it really, I feel very bad for people who have to kind of take a considerable amount of time out of their day to come and see me when, in fact, a lot of stuff can still be done over the phone. Okay. So that is a development. Then email prescriptions are another thing that have been massively advantageous. I mean, the pharmacists must be delighted because they don't have to deal with like my scribbly handwriting. And the prescriptions go straight through, and it's efficient, and the patient's happy, the pharmacist's happy, the GP is happy. So some of these things have been really positive.
Yes, and you can walk into your pharmacist and your prescription is there waiting for you so that you're not waiting for it. But this goes beyond the video consultation if GPs are doing that. There are other technological tools, aren't there, Maura, that you're using in GP practice that you mightn't have used before?
Yeah, and this has been going on long before the pandemic, and it's been, I suppose, in the past we were probably a little frightened by it. We're all used to people Googling their symptoms and, coming in and presenting what they fear is a very serious diagnosis, and it may be something simple, but in fact, these we have to embrace this as doctors. We have to embrace the fact that technology is actually a really positive thing. If somebody can actively participate in their care rather than being a passive recipient of advice, it's actually very, very beneficial for them and for us. So what people have been using are kind of Googling symptoms. They have been using their, most people have smartphones and maybe smartwatches, and they've been looking at their fitness, they're tracking their calorie counts, they're tracking their steps. Those things are kind of useful from a health point of view generally. Mm-hmm. But then period trackers for girls to see when their period is due, and also when they might be most fertile if they're planning pregnancy. There's many tools that people use on that line.
Okay, so and they can go to you armed with that information. Now, I'm going to divert here for a minute, Maura, because there's just some news coming in and I don't want to catch you on the hop. But okay. Fergal Bowers from the newsroom is reporting that concern has been expressed at a meeting of senior officials on the senior officials group on COVID-19 today. Now, what they are concerned about is whether the latest figures on COVID-19 represent a blip or a trend, and no discussion was held about the plan to lift the remaining restrictions on the 22nd of October, but NPHET is to meet next Monday to review the trends and to advise government on how it should best proceed. Now, my question for you based on all that is, what are you seeing on the ground?
We have seen a spike in viral presentations. Now, whether or not that would be the normal childhood viral presentations, RSV and other viruses, there is a worry. And like I said already, people are reluctant to go for a COVID test. I was speaking to a colleague in hospitals yesterday, and it was quite alarming what she was saying about the intake and the number of sick presentations and people. So it possibly
COVID
is
sick people or
COVID sick people. Yes, okay. She said that definitely. And I have to say it's alarming. I don't want to say any more about it because I don't know. I'm not part of any kind of group around it. But
I suppose something else interesting to note here from Fergal Bowers' report is that officials expressed concern at that meeting because it appears that complacency has arisen and there may be a perception among some members of the public that the pandemic is over. Yeah. Are you seeing that?
Yeah, we are. We are. And we actually have to really challenge that ourselves in the practice. And like we were saying about children presenting, do we insist that they all have a PCR test to prove they haven't COVID before they come in, or do we loosen it? And if we do, are we opening up other patients to exposure to COVID? So it's across the board. There is a sense that this emergency has ended, and in fact it hasn't, and we may be at risk of a big spike again.
Yeah. They're also going to look at whether there are any indications that the protection from full vaccination may be trailing down for some people who were vaccinated right at the start of the vaccination campaign. And I'm sure that's a concern that individuals have as well. When we're looking at information coming from overseas, we're looking at our over 80s and people in residential care homes and medical staff getting their boosters. People will be saying, well, do I need a booster now too?
Yeah, well, we're starting the booster program for the over 80s in general practice. Nursing home patients have been started as well. There hasn't been any talk about healthcare professionals, and we will need to be boosted, I presume, because most of us would have been done, thankfully, earlier in February, March. But there hasn't been talk about that yet. But I think there's an increasing uneasiness and a bit of nervousness within the profession generally.
Okay, well, that's one to watch. And it's interesting because we had the head of Test and Trace here yesterday, and we were talking about rising case numbers, rising numbers of people who are being treated in hospital. And clearly it's at the NPHET level now in the senior officials group, and that news from Fergal Bowers. So now let's go back to our tech. Okay. And you were explaining some of the ways that people can gather information themselves, and then they'll come into you and you get a clearer picture of what's going on. But when we look at treatment, then people who have already been diagnosed, for example, with diabetes, has tech happened in that case?
There's been an amazing transformation for people with diabetes. You know, we'll all be familiar with people having to prick their finger to get a drop of blood to test their the sugar level in their blood, and then realize whether or not they're low or high and whether they need to kind of boost their medication. Now, a large percentage of patients have these subcutaneous, just under the skin, sensor, which they can use their smartphone against to tell them exactly what their blood sugar is at any given time. And it avoids, obviously, the pain and the discomfort and the annoyance of the finger prick, but it's actually a much more accurate measurement of their glucose as well. And that can be fed to their phone using Bluetooth, and it can also be fed onto their consultant or GP if need be to help in monitoring their illness and see if there is any issues. They can predict peaks and troughs with their sugars and possibly avert a crisis on either side. So it's a huge development and has made the life of diabetics so much more manageable. And this can be done for children as well as adults. And then they're also a follow-on for that is a lot of patients get implantable insulin pumps. So instead of having to inject themselves, the pump kind of gives a basal level of insulin on a constant basis and then more or less depending on what the blood sugar readings are telling us.
Okay, so much better. Maura, we'll leave it there for now. Thank you very much. And thank you as well for taking those questions on COVID on the fly.
No,
much appreciated. Dr.
Okay.
Maura Finn there, GP in County Clare. Just to remind you that you can listen back to all of today's show, including our budget phone-in in the first hour today. You can listen back to any of our shows by going to rte.ie/podcasts. And you'll have heard that news that concern has been expressed at a meeting of the Senior Officials Group on COVID-19 today about the rise in COVID positivity rates, testing and tracing, and the number of patients in hospital and in ICU. And most remaining restrictions, we know, are due to be lifted from Friday, October 22nd. I'm sure we'll find out later in the day whether there's a question mark now over that date. The number of patients in hospital today being treated for COVID-19 stands at 408. 73 people are in intensive care. And that's it for today. Thank you very much for listening. Today's programme was produced by the series producer, Alistair McConnell. Niamh Lyons was on research. Our broadcast coordinator was Louise Kerr Ross. Liam Mullen was on sound. And now it's over at 12 midday to Ronan Collins.